Hallelujah. Can we just, in 2 minutes, worship God from the bottom of our spirit? Can we just, in 2 minutes, worship God now? Let's just go ahead and just begin to worship God in 2 minutes.
Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Father.
Ololo lagara oshubare mare o eh oshubare mare o baba ololo to lagara oshubare mare o Oshu bare mare o baba honoru tole mimi o Oshu bare mare o Oshu bare mare o baba thank you father thank you father thank you father thank you father I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. I give you all adoration. I say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. We say, thank you, Father. 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 For in Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're welcome to the Prosperity Center tonight, the Eudaimonia meeting. Praise the Lord. Tonight we want to look at spirituality of thought. Now I realized that 2 days ago in our daily devotional, we talked a bit about spirituality of thought, but we were not able to hammer on, you know, the center of spirituality of thought. All right. Now, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. The tag of this meeting is Eudaimonia. Hallelujah. And the meaning of Eudaimonia is prosperity. The meaning of Eudaimonia is prosperity. Now, the word translated prosperity in the Bible is not just about success. Hallelujah. The word translated prosperity in the Bible is not just success. It is a comprehensive word. All right? It is a comprehensive word. That is Eudaimonia now. It's a comprehensive word that includes salvation, that includes healing, that includes deliverance, that includes success, that includes abundance. In fact, the best interpretation of prosperity can be found in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the B part. Jesus said, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have this life abundantly. That I came so that they may have life, and that they might have this life abundantly. So the simplest definition of prosperity is the abundant life scenario, or say the abundant life. Now, when Jesus talked about abundant life, he was not talking about, you know, the kind of abundance that we experience in the world, really, though that's a part of it. It's talking about living the kind of life that is in your spirit and living it abundantly. Now, Apostle John said something in 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. I mean, the Holy Spirit through Apostle John. He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in good wealth, even as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. I pray for you, brethren, that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. Now, the Amplified Version says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, hallelujah, and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Now, sometimes in 2023 and, late 2022, I used to think that probably Apostle John made a mistake with the scripture, that probably he meant spirit, not soul. And for a long time, I used to think of the word soul there as the spirit. That Apostle John was saying that, beloved, I am praying for you that even as your spirit prospers, I want to get it now, that you may prosper. But to the glory of God, I began to realize that God does not make mistakes. Hallelujah. And so if God is saying that I am praying for you, the beloved, through Apostle John now, that you may prosper as your soul prospers. I want to get it now. It means that your soul indeed has to prosper. Now, the reason it is not that your body prospers or that your spirit prospers is because originally man is a spirit. We all understand this, that man is a spirit, and the body of a man, that is the house of the man, is merely an instrument of execution. Hallelujah. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. Hallelujah. And he has a soul. Now, the spirit of the man is the man. Proverbs chapter 20, the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It says it's searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And the Bible says it is searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the spirit of man is what God ministers to. Hallelujah. The spirit of man is how God communicates with man. Because the spirit of man is man. Now, man himself is a spirit. He lives in a body. The body. He lives in the body. So, because man is a spirit and he lives in the body is merely an object of execution. This is why the Bible says that you can yield your members, hallelujah, that you can yield your members to sin, or you can yield your members, okay, to the Holy Spirit that is in you. You can do this. I know that we have the understanding and the opinion that our members have desires. That the body, the flesh has desires. The body, the flesh speaks. Hallelujah. But the truth is this, that the body is merely an instrument of execution. It must not be seen beyond this. But why does it now feel like the body speaks? We're going to see why this is. Hallelujah. So we've talked about the body. We've talked about the spirit. Now the Bible says, and the man has a soul. Man has a soul. Now if you read Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, this scripture explained how God created man. And it was a bit shocking. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. God breathed into man the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. A living soul. So there is a dead soul and a living soul. Hallelujah. There is a dead soul and a living soul. Now Apostle John said, beloved, hallelujah, I pray for you that you prosper, even as your soul prospers. Now, if you must understand this, that prosperity starts first from the nature of a person. This is why Jesus said, I have come that you may receive life and have it abundantly. So the life that is in Jesus that you receive, are we together now, is a prosperous life. It is an abundant life. So as a believer in Christ Jesus, listen to this, and you must understand this, that you are already prosperous. It does not matter whether you even have enough food to eat tonight. It does not change the truth. Your spirit is prosperous. The person that bears your name is prosperous. Hallelujah. We can find many scriptures that confirms this. Romans 8:32, you can read this. He that spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all. The Bible says, how shall he not along with him freely give us all things? So he gave us all things along with his son. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, I mean verse 3, the Bible says that according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So your spirit as it is, the spirit bearing your name, the born again believer, is prosperous. But there is something that must happen if the prosperity of your spirit, okay, will be executed by your body. Hallelujah. If the prosperity of your spirit is going to be translated into your body, or translated in such a way that it can be seen by men. Hallelujah. There must be something that must happen. There must be the prosperity of your soul. This is what Apostle John said, that I pray for you that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. Even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. So the prosperity of your soul determines to a large extent the prosperity that you will experience. I like to tell people this, that when you received the Lord Jesus, you became open to a whole world of possibilities. A whole world of possibilities. Hallelujah. But these possibilities can only be experienced, are we together now, according to the level of the salvation of your soul. Let us read 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 7 to verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 7 to 9. Should I can understand what I'm saying now? Well, we have said this before in the past, that the disobedience of Adam caused two major problems for man. Okay? The first one is that man died, and the second one is that man received a new consciousness. The Bible said after they ate from the tree, I want to get it now, after they ate from that tree, okay, their eyes were opened. Now, you and I know that their eyes were not blind originally. So, by saying that their eyes were opened, hallelujah, the Bible is actually saying they received a new consciousness. The eyes of understanding were opened. In other words, they received a new mind. Now, the solution to both problems, I want to rush this through, the solution to both problems is Jesus, or say the truth. Hallelujah. Now, when you become introduced to the truth, or say the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that is the truth, what it does to you as a person, first and foremost, is to, you know, transform your spirit. So when you became a born-again believer, that you are born of the Word of God and of the Spirit of God, hallelujah, what happened to you is that the spirit that was bearing your name was changed, was recreated. I was going to now. So from the moment that spirit was recreated, you became prosperous. You received a new life. This was the life Jesus was talking about in John chapter 10. Understand? You received a new life. Now, the spirit is what God could change. God could not change the soul. Hallelujah. The spirit is what the introduction of the gospel of our Lord Jesus does. It changes the spirit. It does not change the soul. What it does to the soul is to renew the soul. Hallelujah. Now read the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 7 to 9. It said, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, okay, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed in you. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Verse 9 says, for you are receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our emphasis is on 1 Peter 1:9. It says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In fact, the Bible is saying that the goal of your faith is the salvation of your souls. The goal of your faith is the salvation of your souls. We're trying to understand that there is a salvation of the soul and there is a salvation of the spirit. Hallelujah. Primarily. So the reason we go to Bible study, hallelujah, the reason we have prayer meetings, the reason we have Bible study meetings, the reason we have conferences, the reason we have, you know, teachings, the reason we have, you know, special programs in churches and we go to church is so that our souls may become saved, even though our spirit has been saved. Hallelujah. So the rate at which the salvation of your soul happens is determined by the rate at which your soul is edified with the word of God. Because the solution to the salvation of your soul, hallelujah, it is still the gospel. This is why Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, therein is the, you know, righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Therein, in the gospel, as you continue in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And the goal of faith is the salvation of your soul. So any man, any believer in Christ Jesus that is not living by faith, are we together now, cannot experience the salvation of a soul. And because of this, there is an automatic limit to what that person can experience from God. So we have many Christians today that have received the Holy Spirit and are so powerful, hallelujah, they have received the, you know, the power, the endowment of power from on high, but because their souls are not yet saved, hallelujah, they are still going around powerless. Salvation of your soul. It is so important. It is so important. The Bible says that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Read Romans chapter 1, verse 17, please. The Bible says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed in that gospel. So as you continue in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. But don't forget, Jesus said that in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness thereof. And it says, every other thing shall be added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says that the righteousness of God that makes all other things being added to you is the same thing that is revealed as you continue in the gospel. Hallelujah. So as a child of God that is born of God, if all other things are not being added to you, what the Lord Jesus said or called other things being added to you is prosperity. Now, if this prosperity isn't happening to you yet, hallelujah, it is because you have not found the righteousness of God. You're not living by the righteousness of God. Now, the Bible says that this righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. In other words, the salvation of your soul is directly, I mean, the level or the rate at which the salvation of your soul has gotten to is directly related to the experience of God that you had. Let me say this now, that God has given. See, there's something you must realize. That it does not matter whatever it is that you want from God. It is not like God will give. God has given. Hallelujah. The reason God has given or God has done it is because he has spoken. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 down to verse 3 that God has spoken. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 2 to 3. The Bible says, God has spoken. It says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. So God has spoken. And we know that whenever God speaks, the spirit that is in God's word is available to do what God has said. And that word will not go back to God void. So because God has spoken, he has done what he has said. Now, because he has done what he has said, hallelujah, because God has done what he has said when he spoke, hallelujah, what it means is that if it is not in your own life yet, you have not yet, you have not received it yet. So many times, it is always about our ability to receive what God has given. Now, the salvation of our soul determines our capacity to receive. That's where I'm going. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. There is a direct relationship between the prosperity that your body, your physical life executes and experiences, and the salvation of your soul. Or say, and the prosperity of your soul. You know, sometimes we think Romans chapter 12 verse 2 is exaggerated and we do not pay much attention to that scripture. Yet, it is the secret to the manifestation of God, or say the revelation of God's glory in your life as a believer. That scripture, we don't pay enough attention to it, but it is a secret to the revelation of God's glory in your life. It says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Hallelujah. Be transformed. Be transformed. Be transformed. It says, do not conform. That is, do not now move from who you are to becoming like the people in the world. So we have Christians today that are moving from being light of the world, are we together now, and having an experience of people that are in the world. Now, we may not be dining and, you know, whining with the world. We may not be eating with people in the world. We may not be having conversations with people in the world. But we are still having the same experiences that people in the world are having. So we are conforming to their patterns. And the Bible gives a definite way to escape this conformity. It says, rather than conforming to the world, conform to the image of the Son of God. And now, how do you conform to the image of the Son of God? It says, you become transformed by the renewing of your mind. You become transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Why is the renewal of your mind important? Because without the renewal of your mind, your salvation, the salvation of your soul cannot happen. Without the salvation of your soul, hallelujah, you can't be the prosperity of your soul. Now, what exactly is the soul of a man? And why is the soul of a man very important? And why isn't that God just can't change, you know, remove the soul of the man and rewire it by himself? Hallelujah. What exactly is the soul of the man? The soul of the man is, I'm looking for the best way to describe it now. The soul of a man is simply an unseen part of the man that thrives on information. Now, the soul of a man has three major parts, all right? Has three major parts. And these three parts are the will of the man. I want somebody to note this now. The will of the man, write it down. The will of the man. That's one. Two. The emotions of the man. That's two. Three, the intellect of the man. The will of the man, the emotions of the man, and the intellect of the man. These are the three major, you know, parts of the soul. Now, the part I called intellect, hallelujah, I would like to think of it not as intellect, so to say, but as some sort of library where information and belief systems are stored. So let's call it this way. Let's say the will of the man, okay, the emotions of the man, and the beliefs of the man. The center of beliefs of the man. These are the three major parts of the soul. Now, the will of the man, the will, simply refers to the things that the man is willing to do. The individual power of every man, the will of the man now, is the individual desire and power of any man to pursue the things that he has decided. The will of a man is so powerful. Hallelujah. It is the willpower of a man that is at work in a man when he's pursuing his ambition and is relentless in it. It requires the will of a man. Are we together now? To, you know, become disciplined in certain things. So anything that requires discipline, diligence, hard work, are we together now? Smart work, anything that requires labor of all kinds to get things done, are we together now? Is based, or say, comes from the will of the man. Is backed by the will of the man. You see, when God created man, he didn't want robots. All right? So human beings are free moral agents. You can choose because you have a will. Are we together now? You can choose because you have a will. You can choose because you have a will. And your will has its own power. Your will has its own power. That's what we call willpower. Are we together now? This is why the saying goes as thus. When there's a will, there's a way. Now, the second part of the soul, we might not even be able to talk about spirituality of thought as it is tonight, but we'll get somewhere. Now, the second part of the soul, are we together now, is the emotions of the man. Say, the feelings of the man. Now, this is the part of the man that reacts to situations, that reacts to things, that interprets, analyzes information, and reacts to them. I will tell you now. Now, this is the funny thing. The emotions of a man cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is imagined. This is the serious challenge. The emotions of a man cannot tell the difference between what is real and what is imagined. The only thing that the emotion center of the man focuses about is how man responds to the information that his mind can access at that time. So when man sees certain situations, okay, I will get it now. He senses fear. I will get it now. And when his mind senses fear, his emotions go to work. And the fear grips him, cripples him. I will get it now. When a man sees certain situations, he senses happiness. I will get it now. And his mind perceives happiness. His entire body begins to not just respond happily, but begins to take decisions that may be contrary to his destiny in that happiness. Are we together now? Primarily, the mind of the man cannot tell the difference, especially when reacting in the form of feelings, between what is imagined and what is real. This is what I like to tell my sisters, that you are not emotional beings. You should learn to apply the wisdom of God to understand what is real and what is imagined, and learn to respond to situations and not react to them. This is not an attack on women. I want to get it now. This is not an attack on women. Many times we see our mothers, our sisters react to situations that were not even real. They react to things that are yet to happen. They just imagine that it happened and they're reacting to it. This is not just about women, it happens to men. It happens to all kinds of people. Experiences, revelations you see in your dream, you wake up out together now and your body is responding to something that is seen in the dream. Your body. Out together now. Now, there are two important strong signals of emotions. Two very important strong signals of emotions. The first one is fear. Somebody say fear. Fear. It's a very strong emotion. It is capable of crippling a man. Fear is an emotion. I like to say this and I like to say it again. That fear is an emotion. I will go now. Hallelujah. And the second, very important emotion. Second very important emotion is joy. Or shall I say happiness? Because joy is of the spirit. Happiness. So, men naturally spend a good deal of their life, listen to this now, responding to either of these two emotions many times. They are either seeking happiness, are we together now, responding up to happiness, or living in fear, or doing both at the same time. Of course, there are other emotions, but I'm saying practically this is the second part of the man, the emotions. Now, the third part of the man is the belief systems, or the intellect of the man. The third part of the soul of a man is the belief systems of the man, or the intellect of the man. Now, there's something very interesting about belief systems. Hallelujah. Now, the belief systems of the man determines the willpower of the man and the information that is in the emotions of the man. Let me repeat this. That the belief systems that the man has, the things that a man believes in, determines his emotions and his willpower. Hallelujah. So many times, men think that they have ambitions. Men think that they have the willpower to pursue certain things, but they do not realize that these things are actually influenced by their belief systems. Now, let me tell you this. 95% of the belief systems that you have today were not put there by yourself consciously. Let me repeat. 95% of the belief systems that you have today are not existing in your mind by your own permission. 95% of the things you believe in, I will tell you now, were from information that came into your mind subconsciously and unconsciously. You didn't really give them permission, but you really didn't stop them either. So if 95% of the things you believe in comes from ideologies, informations, and things that you do not really consciously enable to be there, I will together now. It means that the ambitions you have, listen to this, the ambitions you have, the emotions you have, are not really yours. This is why the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth good unto man. Says the end of it is destruction. Now, the man may not know that the end of it is destruction. In fact, it seemeth good to man. Because the understanding of man concerning good does not even come from him. Are we together now? So many of the things that you believe today that you can even die for did not come from you. They didn't even come from God. So there are many cultural ideologies, I'm being honest with you now, cultural ideologies, belief systems, strongholds that we are even using to interpret the scriptures today. And they are the reason we are not experiencing God yet. Somebody say the salvation of your soul. It is so important. Let me give us an assignment before we leave tonight. Everyone in here, I want you to do this assignment. I want you to identify seven important areas of your life. Seven important areas of your life. You can start from your relationship. You can start from parenting, or if you have kids. You can start from finances. You can start from managing business. Okay? You can start from even communication. Seven important areas of your life. I want you to note these areas down. And then I want you to sit down, take some 2 hours off, and think about the beliefs that you have concerning these areas. Hallelujah. You just sit down and begin to think about, what do I believe about these areas? Begin to ask yourself, what do I believe about these areas? Now, by the time you write down the beliefs, systems that you have about these areas, you realize why these areas are not exactly progressing the way you are praying to God that they should. Because they are not God's work. Now, you have hope. Are we together now? Many times, Christians have hope that God can change things. But we don't have faith that can happen. You see, this series is going to help you understand faith better. Faith is God's replacement for the unbelief in your system. Hallelujah. Faith is God's replacement for the unbelief that is in your mind. Hallelujah. So these are the three important, you know, parts of the soul. Now, the most important part of this tree, like I said earlier, is the belief systems. I want you to think of the mind as a library. Think of the mind as a library and the kind of central processing unit. Okay, so let's call it a central processing unit. The kind of central processing unit that processes information all the time. It processes information all the time, all the time, all the time. It doesn't stop processing. The only time it is not processing information is when you are not sleeping. I mean, when you are sleeping and not dreaming. Because when you are sleeping and you are dreaming, your mind is still processing information. You need to realize this. So the only real time that your mind is not processing information is when you are asleep and you are not dreaming. That's the only time your mind is really resting. Are we together now? Your mind is always processing information. From the day a child is born, the mind of the child is at work. Now, this is how it works. When a child is in his mother's womb, are we together now? There is a spirit that is responsible for the information from the kingdom of darkness that has been disseminated in the world. The Bible calls the spirit the prince of the power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, people don't just disobey God. The Bible said, you know, the Bible actually said that Adam and Eve ate out of the fruit of, you know, the knowledge of good and evil. So it means that they knew good and they knew evil. They knew good and they knew evil. So men knew good and men knew evil. But for some reason, men continue to live and continue to do evil until God destroyed the world with a flood. And even after Noah, men continue to do evil. And even in the world today, men are still doing evil. Yet, men knew good and evil. You should ask yourself, why? Because there is a programming from the kingdom of darkness. It takes time. There is a process that they use to influence the minds that is the central processing unit of man. I was going now to influence them to do evil. Hallelujah. So this is us exposing darkness tonight. So when you are born in a region, for example, when you are born in a region, there are some belief systems that exist in that region. Now, the child that is born in that region does not begin to learn this belief system when he's born. No, the child that is born in that region begins to take in information regarding that belief systems. The belief system begins to be formed in his mind from the day that his ears begins to walk in his mother's womb. So when you give birth to a child, you give birth to the child with a foundation for a belief system that is rampant in that territory. Are we together now? So it becomes like a programming that darkness has put in place for that child before he is even born. And so everything around him, are we together now? The behaviors, the information he takes in, the perception, everything begins to form to build these beliefs he has. These are things you must understand. Hallelujah. So as a child is growing, the information is taken in consciously, the education he receives from his parents, from the school system, from the society, are we together now? The beliefs of the society, the nuances, everything has an effect on him. They are, you know, They are storing in the form of books. Think of it as a library. They are storing in the form of books that are being aligned. Are we together now? So the beliefs of the child about money did not start now. The beliefs you have about money now did not start now. They started from when you were, before you were born. Your mind has been arranging it chronologically, and it has a section. There's a section in your mind called finance. Are we together now? And there are information that are arranged there practically that has formed the belief system you have regarding finance. Are we together now? And these belief systems, listen to me, now determine how you respond to money, your emotions about money. And they also determine your willpower about money. They determine the things you can do and can't do for money. Forget that you are baptized by the Holy Spirit for now. This is the reality. So, unless, as long as this information in your mind regarding finance, for example, now, we're taking finance for example now, if this information in your mind regarding finance, if they are contrary to God's word, are we together now? Those information in there that has formed your belief system is what the Bible calls unbelief. Now, until your soul is saved from that unbelief regarding your finance, are we together now? Financial prosperity can never be your experience. Is somebody listening to me? Our time is up tonight, so I'll be stopping here. So if it is health-wise, are we together now? There is a department in your mind tagged health-wise with information that have been labeled since the day you were born, before you were even born. And this information have created your belief systems. They determine your willpower regarding your health. They determine your emotions regarding your health. They determine how you react to these things. Are we together now? And if this information are contrary to God's word, hallelujah, it is unbelief. And until your soul is saved, are we together now? They will begin to communicate thoughts to your willpower and your emotions. And they will continue to, they will continue to be like that. As long as it is like that, are we together now? As long as your soul is not saved regarding that area, forget it. Divine health cannot be your experience. Somebody can pray for you and you are healed once in a while, but you can never experience divine health. Is somebody listening to me now? I pray for you that you prosper even as your soul prospers. This prosperity of your soul is not something to joke with. It's not something to joke with. So a man must understand that before he received the Lord Jesus, listen to this now, that before the man received the Lord Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, he has been trained in the way of the world. He has created belief systems in the world. His mind is filled with a lot of strongholds. Hallelujah. His mind is filled with a lot of strongholds. And the job of these strongholds is to create imaginations. Okay? Create imaginations. Or, in other words, create thoughts. Because the information that is in your belief system are conveyed in the form of thoughts to your willpower. They are conveyed in the form of thoughts to your emotions, and your body executes these thoughts. This is why the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is somebody getting what I'm saying tonight? As a man thinketh. So I'm telling you again, that thoughts are not just things. They are spiritual things. Because anything that can cause, are we together now? Anything that can cause a man to bring forth results is spiritual. Now listen to this. Hallelujah. So that your spirit is saved is one. Are we together now? There must be a correlation between your spirit and your soul before your body can execute. In fact, this is an interesting part. Your soul can bypass your spirit and get your body to execute things that are contrary to your spirit. Yes, because as far as this world is concerned, as far as the realm of men is concerned, as far as the world of men is concerned, activities, results, manifestations in the world of men, are we together now, are a function of the soulish realm. Are we together now? That is why even if the Holy Spirit wants to minister through you, are we together now? He tries to get you to see what he's saying or about to do. Because if you can't see it, are we together now? If you're unable to receive it, he can't use you. Hello? This is why the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. It's not just prayer we don't know how to do. There are many things we don't know how to do. Hallelujah. As I'm beginning to round up tonight, understand this evening. The man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. As far as the spirit is concerned, the moment a man is born of God, he is a fit candidate for heaven. I would get it now. But the salvation of his soul will determine if he will reign as a king on earth. That's clear. Simple. So, by the grace of God, in our next class, that is next week Thursday, we're going to talk about how belief systems are formed. One, we're going to talk about how thoughts are used. Two, we're going to talk about how darkness influences the thoughts of men. Three, and finally, we're going to talk about how mind can be renewed. I pray for you just as Apostle John has prayed, that you will prosper, even as your soul prospers, in the name of Jesus. Can we take one prayer tonight? That, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to begin to identify every unbelief in my life, in the name of Jesus. Can we begin to take this prayer? That, in the name of Jesus, I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to begin to identify